This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Within this old house live two residents. One of them is John Russell, composer, professor. The other has been dead for over 70 years.
Claire, I'd like to talk to you about the house.
Did you die in this house? How did you die?
Whatever it is trying desperately to communicate.
What is it in that house, Claire? What is it doing? Why is it trying to reach me?
It's a hand.
Many films will frighten you, but only a few can really terrify you. The Changeling, an experience beyond total fear.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Film Effect with Tiff. I am back again. I've got more COVID conversations for you. And this week I have another good friend, very, very good friend from my childhood. And her name is Kelly Adams.
Hey, Tiff, how are you?
I am good. And yeah, I'm really excited because I wanted to have you on for a while, actually. And we were just chatting yesterday, and you brought up this amazing movie from 1980, which is like a huge memory for me, just like of being that age. I don't even know, how old do you think we were when we saw this movie?
I was thinking about this when I was watching it yesterday. I'm like, I think we were like 10 or 11.
Yeah, I think we were.
Which seems too young to be watching this. Like, you know, now that I'm a parent, I'm like, is that too young? I don't know.
Kids are different today too. Like I actually just watched The Shining last night with Stella, but she's 14, but she was pretty game and she didn't seem scared of it at all. So I was kind of like,
yeah,
okay, I guess that's, you know, whatever the kids' preference is, or if they're able to handle scary stuff, then, you know, that works out for them. So this was kind of your pick, even though we both agreed to do this movie when you kind of reminded me of it. And yeah, I think we must have seen it. I don't even know. I don't even remember. I just feel like I did see it with you. Yes, possibly.
I think that I remember. I have vivid memories of watching it in your living room. I don't know if that's a real thing, but I know that you were there.
Okay.
So
that's okay.
I do. I remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't remember if it really was in your living room or maybe Jody's, since you guys had the same sort of layout.
It's like one of those childhood memories where, you know, you were in a living room, you know, you're with other friends and you saw it and it scared the hell out of you. So this is the movie we're going to talk about today. If you don't know the movie I'm talking about, the movie is called The Changeling, and it's not the movie with Angelina Jolie. Everyone gets that very confused when I mention that. But this is actually a kind of a ghost story, scary thriller, supernatural movie from 1980. And actually, real quick, before I get into more details, like, do you want to, like, you know, introduce yourself a little bit? If you have anything you want to say?
Just that, you know, we go way, way back.
Yes.
Like, to the beginning of time. Which seems like, in one hand, it was yesterday, and then on the other hand, it seems like it was forever ago. But, you know, a lot of my memories involve you and shaped my life, really, when I think about stuff. I will tell your listeners, I guess, that I don't know if you remember this, but you gave me chicken pox.
Oh, my God. No. Did I?
That's
horrifying.
You did. I remember specifically. I know. I specifically being in your sandbox.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Like the next day you had them and then I had them. So, hey, you're not giving me corona though. So we're good.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. I'm just kidding.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so another thing is that where do you live now? Cause we grew up in Bucks County in Fallsington, PA.
Right. I'm down the street now in Fairless Hills.
Fairless Hills.
So I didn't go far. Yeah, in the hills of Fairly.
Shout out to Fairless Hills.
Shout out to
all the peeps.
To the Fairless Hills. Yep. It's like Beverly Hills, only not.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, man, that's funny.
But yes.
Okay, well, listen, thank you so much for being here. And we are going to have a really interesting conversation about this movie. What I like about this movie, just right off the bat, is that it's not a movie that many people have even heard of. When I mention it, most people don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And I kind of love that. And it doesn't even have actors that I can recognize, to be honest with you. So that's another weird part about this movie. But I'll just do the description. I'll come back to my, you know, basic info about this movie. Like I said, 1980. It is directed by Peter Medak. I don't know. Writers, Russell Hunter, William Gray. It stars George C. Scott, Trish Van Devier. It's a very fancy name. Melvin Douglas. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bunch of other people. So, yeah, it's not a movie that, like, you would know any, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry if I don't know who those people are, and I should. Maybe Trish is familiar in some way from that time period.
She looks familiar, but does she just look like everybody else did at that point? Like,
that's the thing, right?
You know, she kind of has a familiar look.
I know. She kind of reminds me of Buck Rogers. Who was there was a woman on Buck Rogers. Yes. What was her name?
Yes, oh, totally. My God.
I don't know. I God, totally that know movie, that show was crazy. But they're, you know, of the times of all of those 80s kinds of things. So this movie is described as a man staying at a secluded historical mansion finds himself being haunted by the presence of a specter. Now that is a weird description.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means. How would you describe this movie if you were to like give it?
Well, it's just like a creepy ghost, haunted house ghost story. Like just your typical sort of, I don't know, paranormal.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of everything.
Creepy. Yeah, it does. And the thriller part, like the twist is like what gets you.
Oh my God, there's so much in it. Yeah, it's like amazing. And
I know.
And I wonder if like these are the kind of movies, and we were talking about this when we talked yesterday. Like, is it because we saw it when we were young that we just like have this memory of this film that like it's just, it scared us and it had a huge impact. And like, I just remember it a certain way. It will always have that kind of impact for me. I wonder, you know, and I did rewatch it just yesterday and I did enjoy it, but I didn't get as, you know, the scares weren't working on me like they did when I was young. How did you feel when you were rewatching it?
Same. I was sort of more involved in the story than I was the scares, where I remember the scares like they were yesterday. Like I remember the words and I can hear the sounds and, because I just remember watching it so much, and now there wasn't that much scary stuff in it, really.
Yeah, I have to agree.
It was it's more of a story, and I'm like, I don't even really remember the depths of the story. Like I didn't even know what a changeling was. I'm like, oh, so that's what it is.
Can you explain it to me? Because I don't know what it is. I'm like, what is it, Kelly?
Well, it's when they replace. Well, I don't want to like. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen the movie yet, but it's when they like replace one person like with another, like they take on the identity of the other.
Did not realize.
Which I believe that Angelina Jolie movie is that's what happens
that
in that movie.
Correct.
I don't really know because I can't stand her. So I've never.
Yeah. Yes, no, so. You just hit the nail on the head. Same thing. And don't worry about ruining it because we ruined this for everybody. My listeners know that. You don't listen to this until you've seen the movie, because I'm just going to go through the whole thing. That's so true. And I don't know why I didn't realize that's why it was called that. But yeah, you know what, for me, what I realized when I was watching it, I was like, this movie's got everything that I love. It's got like a creepy haunting that's just like, you can't figure out what it is. And then it becomes like a cold case, like true crime. Now I'm like, and then I'm like, it's like Criminal Minds where they're like digging up someone's bedroom and they're like going into the ground and they're like finding bones and they're like going back through the microfiche, you know, like all that cool stuff is happening because now it's not just a ghost story. It's like, he's got to solve this like mystery of a cold case, which I just thought was so cool. What did you think?
I have some issues with the movie, and I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but it is like a cold case. And the ghost, Joseph, it seems as though he sort of wants John, right? Isn't his name John? Yeah. To figure it out for him. Like, he's asking him, he says help. He literally says help during the seance, right?
Help. Help.
But.
Right.
Help. Right. Exactly. But then he's pissed off at him when he does get help.
Yeah, it's hard to please a child. That's all I can say.
Exactly. On regret.
Now I want you to do this.
Exactly.
No, now I'm going to throw my chair down the stairs. Like, you know, it's tantrums and balls that don't. There's so much in this movie, but you're right. Maybe we should go and start from the beginning a little bit. All right. So this guy, he's pushing his car in the snow with his wife and his daughter, and he has to go make a phone call, and the car just gets slammed by a truck and his family is now dead. Like, everybody's gone. Which was horrible. That's a horrible thing to happen, right?
It is, but it's a really great opening. Like, as soon as it started, I've had that feeling. That scary movie feeling. And I don't know if it's the way that it's filmed, that it was that old, that old sort of feeling, or if it's, I don't know what it was, but as soon as it started, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this. You know what I mean? Sort of it was so solid.
Yeah, and they had, it was really good. And it was really very, anyway, they just throw you right in. They're not going to wait, we're in. And then suddenly.
Exactly.
You're right. But I think just to comment on that, on what you just said, is, and I just watched The Shining last night too, so I could even talk about that at some point. But and it's the pace of older movies. They're just, they're slower in a little bit of a way. They're not trying to spoon feed you anything. And and I think it just was the style of filmmaking at the time. Now everything is just overly done with music and cuts and everything's coming at you a million miles a minute. It's not the same anymore with movie making, right. But I like that. Yeah. Yes.
But the music in this, the music in this was perfect. This, just the sound effects and it was creepy, just creepy enough. I always say this about Poltergeist. Poltergeist is one of my favorites. And the music in that is so happy and childlike, but it's creepy as hell. But it's really happy. And this movie sort of had that sort of same feeling.
It really did. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it fit. There were some really great things they did with that. So this guy, he loses his family, and then you find out that he's a music composer and he's also a teacher. The weirdest thing that happens just right off the bat, obviously, is that he decides to buy this insanely huge house for no reason. Now that's where I was just what is happening? Why would
one guy
is going to buy the biggest house? I mean, it wasn't even a house. It's the craziest, creepiest. I guess it's just a point, to bring you into the story of this typical haunted house kind of story. I think right away, the second he goes into this house, that something's going to happen. Obviously, it's it's very strange.
And it's all overgrown and it's all it's not even kept up. Until you go inside, and then the inside's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's also this is definitely a story about a rich person, right? I mean, all the people involved are fancy people. There's nobody she's riding horses and all this stuff. And I'm thinking these are very high end people here. This is not regular people doing stuff like this.
It wasn't shot in Fairless Hill.
There's no massive mansion with a composer living in it. No. Oh man.
No.
God.
Not right now.
He's not on Match. I mean, why wouldn't he be? Or one of those sites. I sound so old when I talk like that. I'm like, what's that app called where you swipe the pit thing and the people date each other? I don't understand. I just don't. But I'm like, can't people
it's true
days?
Though.
But no, but it's a great setup. And then, he's alone in this house and he's just playing his piano. And I think the reason I'm bringing that up is because that's where the music piece comes in with the music of the movie, which is this kind of music that he's playing, which is this classical style of music, it's
right. Well, he's a composer, so he's composing the music. He thinks he's composing
the music. That's right. Yeah. So he thinks he's composing the music, yeah. And then he realizes later that that song was on the music box up in the creepy hidden room that he just finds. Hello. This is like a haunting by itself. Somehow you've disappeared again. My guests are disappearing. I don't know what it is.
I think it's my phone. I'm there. Oh, so that's the other thing. Like, can you hear me now? You can hear me now, right? Okay. So the third floor, he like walks up to the third floor and I'm like, this guy's never even been to the third floor. Like, this house is so big. He hasn't been up here yet. There's all these doors. And he just randomly opens that door because he's looking for a window. Remember, the window broke out.
Oh, that's right.
That's how that started. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he just rips these boards off, which I don't think he was strong enough to do, but.
Do you think he's a wimp? He's not strong enough to open his
leg. I actually Googled how old was George C. Scott in 1980, and it was 53.
Hey, man, maybe he's got some, he could possibly rip off some shelves.
Hey, you never know.
I don't know. But, it's an old house. Yeah. But he does it in such an aggressive way. It's like he's like, I've got to get in there and see what it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
really interesting. But I think that's like the one thing about this movie that I really like is that, you know, you do feel for this guy. There's even scenes where he's like, you know, the scene where he cries in his bed, he's just crying.
Oh yeah. He's like mourning.
I was like, wow, it's like a grown man just crying in his bed. Like, I was like, that was weird. I'm like, okay.
Right.
I'm thinking like when I'm 12 years old watching a grown man cry in his bed, did that have effects on me? Like, did that get somewhere deep into my brain where I was like, that's what men do when they're old. They cry alone. Like, you know, like I don't.
Yes.
Or maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. I'm like, mom, does dad cry alone in the bed? Is that what people do when they get old? Oh man, you have to wonder how these movies have affected me. So I guess, man, I'm walking through it a little bit. Like, I guess on a rewatch, like, or even in your memory from when you were a child, like, what was the scariest part that you remember? Did you have a scene that was like, that was the scene that really freaked me out?
The banging. Mm-hmm. I can still hear it. Like, I mean, I watched it yesterday, but before that, I can still hear it. And then the whispering of the child and in the tapes when he realizes he can hear it.
That is so creepy.
Like, Joseph.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I just got the chills again.
I know. No, really, it is. And it's the best scene. Like, I love in movies like this when you finally get that like seance scene or like the psychic or the medium comes in. And I actually have to say for the date of this film, that was like a really new thing to see in movies. And I mean, we saw it in Poltergeist a little bit with they bring in like, you know, the psychic. That was kind of a new thing that you saw in like ghost stories. You didn't see like paranormal researchers or you didn't see people doing that so much. And I think that's why like I never forgot that scene of when she's just scribbling on that paper and it's just
so good in that. I don't know who that woman was, but she was so good.
Amazing. She's like so deadpan. Yeah. And then there's no music even, I think. It's just like you hear the scribbling and it's like you know, and then the man is reading, which is so funny when we talked and you reminded me of that. No.
Like everybody couldn't see that she was scribbling it so hard. And then she like broke the pencil and like he replaced the pen. Like that was such a great little detail, I think.
It was a great detail. Like, in fact, yes. Yeah.
She was writing so hard that she broke the tip of the pencil and he just replaced it and she kept scribbling while she was staring straight ahead. That was
And she had like a stack of pencils there. Like that was set up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they don't explain anything. It's like you just see them come into the house. They sit at the table. There's like a weird side eye that goes on between George C. Scott and the other woman where they kind of look at each other like, what the fuck's about to happen right now? And then nobody talks, though. And then she just starts and you're just in now. It's like, oh, I loved it so much. I still love that scene. That was probably one of my favorite parts in the movie, even on the rewatch. And so I love
What was
that.
The cone, though? The cone, after she was done writing, the cone no in the idea. Middle of the table. I'm like, I remembered it, and I'm like, but I don't, what's the number? They never really allude to it. It doesn't really do anything except for shake, but.
It shakes, and like, then it like, and then a glass flies across the room.
And then the glass goes flying. Yeah.
I thought that thing was going to fly and hit somebody in the head. Like, I was thinking that's a really dangerous prop to use for a seance, but.
Yeah. Yep.
You're right, though. That was a weird part of it. Yeah, and you're right. And so, you know, he records it because he records himself playing, which is, you know, a little bit of a modern take on, you know, 1980, that this guy has this recorder in his house. And he plays it back, and you get those voices, those, Joseph. You just did the best, like, child voice. I can't even do that. That was so awesome. That was so crazy what he did. So this movie also involves a murder, obviously, because there's a ghost, and a cold case.
Exactly.
And that actually kind of makes the story really interesting once you get involved in that. Because, you know, once he hears the voices on the tape, he's very, you know, motivated to like figure out what happened. You know, what I thought was odd was he's not scared. This guy's not like running out of the house. He's not like, I want to sell it. Like, he's just fine with it. And he just is like, nope, I'm going to solve this case.
But he did pass out or something at one point.
Oh, you're right. That about? He did.
He like walked totally to the forgot. Other, like the other side of the foyer. And
the other side of the house.
Called his realtor / girlfriend. You don't really know what that relationship is. But
before they went horse riding or after.
Exactly. Exactly. And then he just falls on the floor. And then she's
And then
there.
She comes back from the room. Then he's in the chair. And then she comes back and she's just crying on the banister. Because it's so upsetting to hear this kid's voice, which it is. I mean, I have to tell you, though, once I heard those voices, I think I might be out of that fucking house. I don't know.
Oh, totally.
How I could sleep alone in that place with the banging and now the voice and like crazy.
And he knew his name. He knew his name was John. And he did say his name, right? He said John. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have been out there.
John is here. John is here. No, I'm not. I'm not here. Tell him I'm not here.
I'm out.
I'm not here. Just tell him I'm leaving. It's so crazy, that whole situation. So then we go into the next part. I'm trying to think of where this, I mean, did you think there were any parts of it where it just like went into a place that wasn't believable for you?
Not until the end, when the changeling is like walking up the steps. That was I see.
That is the weirdest ending ever, for sure.
Yeah.
I did love how that woman that had the house with the little girl that heard the banging, or the, what did she have, like an experience in their house?
The little girl saw it.
Uh-huh.
Saw the little boy coming out of the floor, she said, and then she was sleeping with the mom, and then she walked back into her room. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, and then they tore up the floor.
That was my favorite.
And suddenly she had a son.
Wait, who had a son?
The woman who owned that house. She's like, this is my son. He was in the hole.
Where did he go? Hello. Kelly Adams, where did you go?
It's my stupid phone. It's okay. I'm sorry. It was her son. Uh-huh. She introduced him as her son.
Okay. Okay.
Know. Suddenly she had a son.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But
yeah, so that happens. But and I love the whole, like I was saying before, I love the whole part where he goes and he actively tries to find out, you know, how this boy was killed. But we find out that before he does, interestingly enough, in the story. They show you that whole scene where he's like in his room and that horrible. I mean, what the fuck? That guy like just oh god, he like lifts up his feet in the bathtub and it's like, father, no. And I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, the fact that it was his dad, like his own father.
It really is messed up. You know what's funny is, you've seen The Shining, obviously, right? Yeah. So oddly enough, I'm watching this movie last night and there's so many parallels between the two of these movies. A little boy who's, you know, not dead, but he's like a psychic weirdo, you know, like he's tapped into all this stuff that he can sense and see. And then in that movie as well, the father chases him to kill him.
Right. Right.
Like, kind of terrifying that like father's wearing killer and kids. God. I know. Right. Also, it's like kind of a ghost story. It's a different kind of movie completely, but there's some similar themes of like, you know, I don't know, like people not listening to you, not understanding you, and this ghost like trying to get someone to understand, hear his story. Yeah, and then literally having to like fight for your life against your father who's trying to murder you.
Because nobody knew he died.
I know. It's so
sad. Nobody knew that kid died.
It's so sad. That's why it's so triumphant at the end when he like figures everything out, you know?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go to some of my weird notes that I wrote down. I already mentioned the horse riding, which I thought was weird. I literally wrote horse riding ? Fancy people. Because he's like,
you know what? I was so curious to see what he was wearing because she was so clearly in riding gear,
right?
Like that, I was like, and he had on like jeans and you know, whatever. Corduroy jacket with leather patches on the elbows. So fancy.
By the way, that scene, let's talk about that. They're like whole walking. The first you see them riding from far away. And then you see them walking through the forest with like holding the horses and walking them. And it's so obvious to me that they were like trying not to get the horses to like eat shit and like just hold it still. Did you notice like the scene where he's like trying to, if you watch it again, he's like kind of gently pulling the horse, but then he's standing there and the horse is like trying to eat the tree and he's just like kind of yanking it with his arm and like trying to act at the same time. And I was kind of like, they're obviously, and then they cut to a closer shot so you don't see it at all. And she's like, what are you thinking about? And he's like staring off and he's like, I was just thinking about my daughter. And I was like, is that well, because in a movie I'm always thinking like a scene usually has a purpose to move the story forward, and I thought that had nothing to do with anything. I was like, why does this even matter except to show like the two of them have like a moment together? But it was bizarre. And I also felt like, so I couldn't relate to like all of that, like people riding horses and composers and all that. I was kind of like, this is a very fancy movie. Just a sidebar on that. And also dating.
It's an uppity horror.
It's an uppity.
And also dating.
It's an uppity horror movie. That's the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
It's an uppity one. Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is not the poltergeist that we know.
No.
The tiny wheelchair is really upsetting. I wrote that. I'm like, that's the creepiest room with the tiniest wheelchair.
And it's like wicker.
Oh my God.
It was like old fashionedy. Like, I mean, not that I expect them in 1909 to look like they do now, but that makes it creepier.
It's so creepy. And you kind of wonder, did he just like hide that kid up there? It seemed like that kid was like locked up there.
Oh, sure. That's what they used to do back then. You had like a kid that was disabled in some way or had some sort of issues. They like locked you away or put you in a home or it's pretty messed up. But in the same aspect, look how far we've come. Like,
it's so true.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah. And I think they said he had like arthritis or something.
Arthritis.
When they talked about. Yeah, huh. I swear that's what they said.
That's so weird. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's sad. But I think that's what's interesting when you watch movies that have an old story like that. It makes you think about the time period and you're kind of like, did that happen to people back then? Why?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. And like, why would you be, I guess also it's hard to take care of a kid like that. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's no reason to kill ever. I'm just saying.
Never.
Never a good reason. I don't care how small your wheelchair is. You should be alive. That wasn't funny. Sorry. but, you know, you had the music box and, well, okay, let's get into the ghost powers really quick. I always like to see what ghosts can do and what they can't. So this ghost can, like, in the beginning, just make a lot of noises, banging. Then there's like the seance where you get to hear the voice. Somehow this ghost can like
the ball
that gets dropped off a bridge and then ends up back in the house. Now, how do you even do that? I'm sorry.
And it was still wet.
I know. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was some serious stuff right there. And then like smashing windows, but go ahead.
Yeah. The ball is when I would have been out. Like I just dropped it. The ball came down the steps. He took it to a bridge. He threw it off the bridge into water. He got home. It came back down the steps and now it's wet. See you later. Bye.
I know. And I kept thinking like, how far was that drive? Like, was that a far drive? Did he have to go far before he had to like find a bridge and then drop it off the side? Like, seemed like he went from like the country to the city to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like a very long trip. Yeah, that might be my cue to get out as well. Although I would have already been out with the voices and the seance and all of that stuff. Totally. Forget it. Yeah, but then the ghost is able to also like have a chain come up out of the ground, oddly, and kind of move things out of a room, like the wheelchair. So I think it's always funny in these stories when the powers just kind of increase as the story goes on. Right. Yeah. And then you wonder, like you said at the end, this man just goes up the stairs. Once you find out this other guy that was the kid that replaced this kid is now an old man, and he like finds out the truth, and he just like walks up the stairs in a burning house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What has happened?
But he didn't really. He was in his office and he had a heart attack, I guess.
Oh, that's right. But
the image of him walking up the steps, but George C. Scott's character was watching him do that.
So weird.
For like a split second, I'm like, wait, how did he get to the house? He didn't get to the house. So as a 45-year-old woman, I was confused. I used to watch it as a 10-year-old kid. I totally had no idea what was happening.
No, and when you're 10 years old, you just accept everything you see, you know.
Exactly.
It's all
you're
truth.
Like, oh, okay.
You're like, go. And the man has got to go. You know, it's like, he's the bad guy. Mm-hmm. He's got to burn. It just makes sense, of course. It's, you know, listen, I'm trying to think what else to add about this film. It's a great movie. Great story. In terms of our childhood, I think I will share a little bit about my childhood. So I told you I was going to share a personal story. I'll share this really quick. So I don't even know if you remember this, but I remember that like I had a big birthday party at my house. I think it was before I moved, and I wanted to.
It was a swim party.
Was it a swim? I don't remember if I probably had a swim party too.
Okay, anyway, you have.
We said before, like my memories are all like sloshed together. It's like pff, I have no idea.
Yeah, me too.
I do remember I had a. Maybe it wasn't right before, but I did have a party where we watched. God, this is. I'm going to like out people in the story. So I remember we. Okay. I decided to have people over and I wanted to watch The Nightmare on Elm Street, which was out on, I guess you could rent it at the time. And I was afraid to watch it. And like all the kids were sitting around and like I was embarrassed because my mom was like, you have all these kids here, like you have to watch it. And I was like, I can't, it's too scary. And like I got scared and I had to like go hide in the other room. But like everybody else was watching it. And then should I say this on this podcast?
You have to now.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh my God. All right. So do you remember Eddie McGowan?
Sure. I think he's a comedian now.
Holy shit. Is he going to listen to this? I might get in trouble.
I don't know.
I'm just going to say it. So I remember I was scared and I was in our playroom and I think he came out. My mom had told him to like get something from our girl, like help find me and get sodas out of the garage or something. And like I went. So he like came into the room and then I was with him and then we went into my garage for some random reason. We went into my garage and he just like slammed me up against the wall and like French kissed me. And it was the first time anybody ever kissed me.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
And I literally just like didn't know what to do. And then it was over. And then that was the end of it. And like, we just went back in there like to the movie or whatever. And it was like one of the most messed up days of my life where I couldn't watch a scary movie. And then and I liked Eddie McGowan. We had like a little note passing thing going on. And like,
I remember that you liked
it. You remember this.
Oh my God. I remember that you liked Editorial.
So this whole thing happened. And then after that day, I was like, I was so embarrassed, not only just about what happened with him, but like I was embarrassed about like not being cool in movies that I was afraid of. And so like I made it my personal mission to like watch a bunch of scary movies and like get over my fear. And then that's like when I got really obsessed with scary movies, because I just, I don't know. It's so funny. And to this day, like, I'm just not scared of scary movies because I kind of got over it. But I was like, sorry, Eddie. I was kind of
you associated it.
I associate that whole day into this day of like, you have to get control of yourself. Like, you can't be afraid of things. Right. And I did. It actually was like a really interesting pivotal moment for me in terms of facing fears and like, you know, feeling empowered or something over the, you know, the genre of like movie watching or something. It was very strange. So this has now turned into a podcast where I just share who kissed me for the first time. I'm not going to go into who felt me up for the first time, but maybe on the next episode if people really want to know.
Oh my god.
Okay, so let's just see what happens. But so scary movies have always stuck with me after that. And actually I'll add, in the theme of horror and scary movies, I listened to this podcast with Stephen King recently that was on NPR, and she was asking him like, why are you so fascinated by horror and like what's up with your storytelling, like it's always like around these things of evil, and you know, and he was saying yes, but really he was saying that my stories really aren't so much about those things, even though that's where they live. He said they're always about people kind of overcoming hard circumstances, you know, and I'm very interested in like what people do with what they get presented and how they handle it. And I feel like that's probably why, if it's a good story, it's a good horror movie or a good scary story, I really resonate with it, because I can relate to that theme of like being presented with something that you had no idea even existed, and then having to prevail and, you know, overcome that experience in a positive way, or even in any way that you can to survive it. And, I don't know. Maybe that's why I love these movies so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything deep for you? Or am I the only one?
No. I don't know why I like them. I just do. The 10-year-old me still loves them.
So are you the one in your house that sits around is like wanting to put on the scary movies and nobody else wants to watch with you?
Well, it's interesting because my daughter, when she was 3, like, loved scary movies. So earlier I said something about being 10 and is it too young? I didn't necessarily mean the scary part, like just the whole story. Like I didn't get it. You know what I mean? Like I probably didn't get it at 10 years old. Was it too early to really understand what was going on? Just like, side note, Dirty Dancing, I had no idea there was an abortion in it. So let's just keep that. Let's just remember that. So.
I know. It's like,
it's a pretty pivotal part of the movie. And then when I got older, I'm like, oh, that's what she had. Like, I had no idea. So, you know, things go over my head pretty easy.
Yeah.
But so when my daughter was young, she loved, I would watch scary movies and she would watch them with me. And she was like obsessed with like Paranormal Activity. And she saw Poltergeist with me and nothing like bloody and or gutsy or whatever, but she loved them. You know, then Walking Dead became the big thing. And that was our family time, is every Sunday we would sit around and we would watch Walking
Dead.
That's
awesome. I love that series. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was great. This was, you know, this was, it was everything. But now they, both of my kids hate scary movies, and I watch them all the time, and they like run through the like living room with their eyes covered. So I don't, I don't know what happens. And then I make fun of them and call them sissies. And yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm like the only one in my house, and Stella is slowly coming on board, which is like my dream. I told her last night, I was like, the fact that you want to watch this movie with me is like the best thing that's ever happened to me. I was like, and she just looks at me like, yeah, mom, it's cool. Like, like, don't be weird now. Like, I'm like, I'm
right.
So happy you're,
stop making
so
it weird,
happy
mom.
You're here with me right now and we're just having this time. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, it's like the most upsetting movie. But yeah. Yeah, I think you like have to find ways to like, you know, bond with your kids over certain things. I'm definitely the learner in this house with these kind of movies. So I was really happy that you were willing to talk to me about one of them. And it is a bit of a change. It's a changeling. I feel like that's weird that we picked this movie. I just talked about the changeling of myself from French kissing
matches
and wow. You know, I have another weird memory. I'm just going to do this one and then we'll probably, maybe we'll wrap it up in a few here. We watched some movie at somebody's house that was scary. Maybe it was Halloween or something. And I swear to God, one of our parents ran outside and like banged on the windows or something. Do you have any memory of this? Because I feel like it was really upsetting that they were kind of scared.
I remember watching Halloween at Chrissy O'Donnell's house.
Okay.
But I don't know if I remember being scared, but I remember I have memories. I remember watching things like I remember watching Thriller video at Jody's on some Betamax or something. Like
I love it.
And that scarred me.
Oh, I know.
That movie that video when he turns into the wolf scared the shit out of me.
It scared everybody.
As a kid.
Yeah, it was a really scary thing, actually, even though it was just a music video. We were all scared of it. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. And now you watch it and you're like, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but at the time, that's why this movie was scary.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I never forget the banging. I will never forget that recording and the seance. Like, to this day, and I've seen it done in so many movies, I still think they did it the best. I think the movie's even better because I didn't really know who the actors were. Maybe at the time that we were growing up, there were some big actors, but we were just unaware of that. I don't feel like there were such amazing movie stars that you were just, like, always seeing them in all the same movies. Unless it was Indiana Jones.
Was this a Canadian film? Do you know?
Did you have to do my research? Because I think. Hold on a sec.
I read that it won like some best picture on some award that I never heard of.
I can tell you. Hold on. I'm not seeing an award here. I'm going through the pages here. No. Maybe I don't have the right information that you have. It was shot in Canada, though.
There you go.
It was shot in Canada.
What is the Canadian Oscars?
Oh. You're stumping me, man. I have no idea.
What's it called?
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I think it won a Genie Award.
Dude, it won 11 awards. But these are all weird.
See?
Academy of Science Fiction. Is that a thing? Boston Society of Film Critics Award. Okay. Yeah, Genie Awards. It won the Genie Award in 1980.
Best picture.
Damn. Yeah. Look at you, man. You just pulled that out. It totally did.
I don't know. I'm assuming that's their Oscars. I don't know.
I think it is. I think you're right.
Could be like, yeah.
Yeah.
In 1980.
1980, the year it was made. So there you have it, people. Mm-hmm. This is the movie to watch.
There you go.
And you should follow it up with The Shining if you can, but it's a long double feature experience because The Shining is like 2.5 hours. And I might even come back and do one on that movie because I just watched it. And it's so well done, that movie. That movie is just,
amazing.
Though it's like kind of a slow pace.
Should we watch it now, though? Should we watch it now being in... quarantine.
I think it's perfect. Yeah, I do. Like, I really think it's a perfect thing to watch. We watched it and we were highly entertained. And like, I just love Jack Nicholson in movies like that. Like he just, Stella was laughing at some of the stuff he was doing. And she's like, why does he do that? I'm like, it's Jack Nicholson. He raises eyebrows. He has a way of talking, you know, he's like, he's always himself, even though he's playing a different character, you know, he kind of brings the same stuff.
Right.
But the movie it's a smarter movie than it's always been a kind of a weird movie for me in my recollection. At least I didn't understand a lot of it when I'd seen it. So it was fun to watch it again and kind of try to figure it out. Did you ever see Dr. Sleep that came out in the past year or two?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well.
I'll put it on my list.
If you can handle the double feature of that, which is now we're going into another movie, but that is the sequel to The Shining. Those are both books that Stephen King wrote. So the movies are really far apart from each other because he didn't write Dr. Sleep until I think in the past few years or decade or whatever. So it's like a long wait for that runner up to that movie. But I didn't think the movie Dr. Sleep was amazing, but it's definitely an interesting, you know, to continue the story of what happens. So I don't want to give too, I don't want to, we don't have to get into it now, but if you,
yeah, I'll have to check.
If you like scary movies, I would
definitely check
it out. And nothing compares to The Shining though, because it's just Kubrick was such a weird filmmaker, and he just, yeah. And there's nudity that I did not like or expect to remember. It's just.
You're talking about the. Are you talking about the bathtub scene?
Yes. It's so slow, and I'm sitting next to my 14-year-old, and I'm like, okay, should we forward this? Like, she's just standing there. Forever, just naked, yeah. Just forever. Like there's nothing even happening. And he's just staring back at her. And I'm like, it was just awkward for both of us.
Right.
Just a little bit, you know, even though there's a lot of nudity on TV nowadays. What can you do?
It's just different though, when it's awkward, long, silent.
Yeah. And then it's a creepy old lady, which is even grosser.
Exactly.
That's why that movie's like a slow burn. Yeah. Well, listen, I have really enjoyed discussing this with you. Do you have any?
Same. Thanks for inviting me.
Dude, I love it. And I'm so sorry, Eddie, if I brought you up and shared our personal.
Oh my God, I can't. It's amazing. I can't believe this is how I'm learning this.
Listen, you probably have memories of me that I don't remember. And I'm really going to apologize to my listeners. This has been a very personal podcast today, and I'm bringing up all kinds of people that you have no idea who I'm talking about. But you know what? I feel like I'm allowed because I listen to other podcasts where famous people talk about other famous people they know, and they have these whole like very long conversations about like, hey, man, remember when Jim wrote that thing? Remember in that story? And I'm like, I don't even know these people that you're talking about. So guess what? Right. You guys can just follow along and it'll be fine. But yeah, I really... this is like a bit of a therapy podcast for me. And I find that movies are my therapy. So.
Yes. Agreed.
Right. And for all of us right now, I mean, can you give any suggestions to people that are like what we should like at home?
Wear a mask and don't go outside.
That's it. Stay home. Watch The Shining. Follow that with Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
Make food.
Don't be protesting nothing. Don't be an idiot.
Oh my God.
That's it.
Now that could be a horror movie right there. Yeah. Totally.
That it is a horror movie.
You're right. It is.
I watch horror movies to escape our current administration.
I've been watching a lot of robot movies, which has been really helpful, actually.
Right.
Yeah, because it's so far away from what's happening right now that like a good or a bad horror movie about a bad robot is fine with me.
That's exactly. Yeah. Like, we could use a bad robot right now.
A lot of bad robots. Yeah. All right, Kelly, we'll listen.
A lot of bad robots.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the invite, Seth. This was fun.
Yes, and maybe next time I'll come back and tell you more juicy stories of my childhood.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's and you can share as much as you want. It'll be your call.
Awesome.
All right, well,
it'll be fun.
Thanks, everybody, and thanks for joining us. And next week we will have more movies, and we will be talking, you know, continuing to talk big feelings and big movies. Thanks again, everybody.